The Bible talks about spiritual death, something that we probably ought to understand, but not many people do. That's why we are talking about it on today's episode of Grace in Focus. I am Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you for joining us. We are currently taking questions from listeners just like you. By the way, if you have questions, you can send them to us through email, radio@faithalone.org. Let's get right to today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Welcome to the show, where it is our pleasure, really, to be able to discuss these types of questions with you, answering your questions about the Bible and theology.
Yeah.
I was just teaching some students at His Hill Bible College in Comfort, Texas. And I was just mentioning to the students, we were discussing some pretty hard questions. And I told them, I love doing this because there may not be another time in your life where you're able to discuss these types of questions, hard questions. Because if you're in church, if you're in a typical church, you just kind of sit silently for 40 minutes as you listen to a pastor preaching and teaching, and you never get to ask questions. And if you go to a Bible study, you're just going to be following a Bible study guide, probably, and it's probably just going to ask you how you feel about this or that passage or this or that topic, right? And you don't really get to discuss things, really.
Well, this is why one of the encouragements we have pastors or elders or Sunday school teachers or home Bible study teachers, our encouragement to you is get some interaction with the people. Give them a chance to ask you questions. Give them a chance to make comments, because that's where the real learning occurs.
Right.
It really helps to interact with people. I'm not suggesting that in a sermon there's no learning, but a lot of the effectiveness of a sermon is afterwards people will come up and ask questions, make
right.
comments.
Right.
That's why at our national conference, we have questions after every session, because we want people to be able to interact.
You want to make sure that you're teaching. Teaching is only occurring if people are learning. Otherwise, you're just kind of speaking into the air. And
that's so true, isn't
it?
You
think? And asking those follow-up questions can kind of help you figure out, okay, is someone tracking with you or not? Well, here's some questions. Are you ready for some questions?
Let's give it a shot.
All right, here's one from Daniel. And he says, you stated in an episode that death did not occur in Genesis 2:7, but he means 2:17.
2:17, yeah.
Genesis 2:17, where God warns Adam and Eve, he says, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. And Daniel says, you stated this was only physical death. You also stated that Romans 6:23 only means physical death. I know traditionally people say those are spiritual death and physical death. How do you come to the conclusion that it's only physical death? And when does spiritual death occur?
Okay, I think that's a great question. And Daniel's name means God is my judge. So God is judging our answer here. So let's be careful in what we say.
So there's two questions here. So the first question is, how do we come to the conclusion that Genesis 2:17 and let's say Romans 6:23 are about physical death? And the second question is, when does spiritual death occur?
Okay, in the first question, how do we decide this is physical death? One way is because if we're saying that Adam and Eve died spiritually, then we have to mean there was some sense in which they were alive spiritually before they died, right?
Yeah.
And so, what did they have before they died? What do we call that? Was it everlasting life? If it was, then they still had it after the fall, because you can't lose everlasting life.
Right.
So, therefore, people are reduced to calling it something like fellowship.
Right.
And they say they had fellowship with God, and they lost fellowship with God. Well, okay.
And that,
there was a break of fellowship.
Right, and that is spiritual death, but I don't think that's what people mean by spiritual death.
Not
right?
normally. Now, some people say that's what happened with Jesus on the cross, that he lost fellowship with the Father and the Holy Spirit. I think there is one place in Scripture, I think that does occur, and that's in the prodigal son in Luke 15, where the father says, my son who has died is alive again.
Right.
And alive again means he's back in fellowship with me.
But there, do you think death is kind of like a metaphor? It's more of a
It was
metaphor
a metaphor.
There, right?
In Scripture, death is quite often a metaphor. It's a
right.
figure. Here, I think it's literally talking about the death process beginning. And some of the evidence for it would be Genesis chapter 5. If you look at it, there's a repeated refrain. And he died. It starts with Adam, it goes down to Noah, and it shows that except for Enoch, which is what we know is coming in the future, resurrection and everlasting life and no more death,
right.
Except for Enoch, all the patriarchs died.
And that's clearly they died and they were buried.
They were it's clearly physical death. And when you come over to Romans, for example, Romans chapter 5, Adam, the first man, introduced death into the world.
Right.
And it's talking about physical death. It's not talking about spiritual death.
We're all mortal because of Adam.
Right.
We inherit physical mortality
from him. Through him. And Romans 6:23 most naturally fits in that. And I would point to Zane Hodges' commentary on Romans, which we carry. And he has a good discussion of the whole context of Romans 6:23. They can also find some good articles on our website at faithalone.org, if they don't want to buy a book. But I think there's a good discussion there. But in terms of Adam and Eve, a lot of people say, well, how could they have died the day they ate the forbidden fruit?
Right, that's the objection.
When Genesis 5 tells us Adam didn't die until 930 years later.
Yeah, so people reason this way, I think. They say God said you would die in that day, and Adam did not physically die in that day. He died 900 years later. So that means some other type of death must have occurred, even though the text does not say there's a spiritual death. It doesn't say that Adam died spiritually that day. All of that theology is kind of read into the text. I mean, how would you explain it?
Okay, so the way I would explain it is within Jewish thought, when a person begins to die, they're in the dying process.
Yeah.
And so Adam and Eve, on the day they ate the forbidden fruit, died.
Yeah.
The process of death began. Before that, they were immortal. Well, not immortal, but they were not yet mortal. Let's put it that way.
They were not in the process of dying.
No, they would never have died if they had not eaten of this forbidden fruit. And so, I assume if they had not sinned, at some point God would have removed their ability to sin, and then the whole human race would have lived on, and there would have been no need for death of Messiah. Jesus would have lived with them on earth, Genesis 3:8. But, of course, they did sin, and the result was that now they needed everlasting life. Before, they didn't need that life because they were sinless.
Yeah. I noticed something, and you tell me if this is true or not. One thing that we've talked about before is we tend to spiritualize the Bible, and we have this tradition from Catholicism and Orthodoxy, patristic exegesis, where everything is spiritualized. And sometimes we miss out on the importance of the body and the material world. For example, in salvation, in your book, 10 Most Misunderstood Words, you show that the word salvation often, in the majority of times, actually refers to physical deliverance from dangers to physical life.
Right,
because that's really important. Sometimes we think that's not really that important. It must mean salvation from hell, because that's the only type of salvation that's important. But no, physical death is a horrible thing that was introduced into God's creation that he does not want, that he is going to defeat one
day. Exactly. If you read wisdom literature, especially like Psalms and Proverbs, the way of wickedness is the way of death, and the way of righteousness is the way of life. In fact, Paul says in Romans 8, 6, and 7 that life and peace is what is found for the person who is walking in the Spirit.
Right.
But the one who is walking in the flesh is on the path of death.
Right. And so the fullness of God's salvation isn't that we're going to be redeemed as spirits and we're going to float in the clouds. We're getting eternal bodies to live on a new eternal earth. You know, so it's like we need salvation from death. We need physical resurrection from physical death.
Now, there is one more thing.
His second question is, when did spiritual death occur?
Okay, now that's a tricky one, because I would say that the lack of everlasting life became important once Adam and Eve sinned. Before that, they didn't need everlasting life because they were created innocent and they had a relationship with God.
Right.
Now, a lot of people don't agree with this, but I would say the unfallen angels like Michael and Gabriel and all of the unfallen angels, do not have everlasting life. Mm-hmm. Well, Jesus didn't die for them.
Well, what is everlasting life?
Okay, then? Everlasting life, according to 1 John 1, 2 and 1 John 5:21, is the life of Jesus. He is everlasting life, and he gives of his life to us. So everlasting life is two things. Number one, it's a life that lasts forever. We might call it a spiritual life that lasts forever, but it's really, by spiritual, we mean life with God mm-hmm. that lasts forever. So when his kingdom comes, those with everlasting life will be there.
You're right.
But it's also life that has great potential so that you can have it more abundantly, John 10, 10b. And so everlasting life is both life that never ends, and it's also life that is full of abundance or potential abundance, and it's always life with God.
Right. I mean, Jesus used the analogy of the branches and the vine, right?
Right.
And it's like the vitality of his life is somehow communicated to us.
Exactly, and I think that's through the work of the Spirit. But the point is, when did spiritual death enter? Well, it entered after the fall, so he's right there. But it's not that they died spiritually. It's really that they lacked everlasting life, and now it became significant because now they were sinners. Jesus died on the cross, took care of the sin problem. John 1:29, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. But now, as Lewis Berry Chafer used to say, we no longer have a sin problem. Well, of course, we do have a sin problem in the sense that we reap consequences in this life. But what Chafer meant is we no longer have a sin problem keeping us out of the kingdom. What we have is a son problem. We need to believe in the Son of God in order to have everlasting life. That's John 3:16, or John the Baptist says that in John 3:36.
Right.
He who believes in the Son has everlasting life. And so I love Daniel's question. It's a great question, and I think it's one for Bereans. Everyone who is searching the Scriptures should be looking at physical death, spiritual death, metaphorical death, other kinds of death. And it seems to me that Daniel's right. We can tell an unbeliever, you're dead. That is, you lack the life of God, and you need life. Mm-hmm. But the good news is Jesus is taking care of your sin problem, so that all you need to do to gain life that lasts forever with God is to believe in Him.
Thank you guys for that great discussion. Would you like to grow and mature in your understanding of Scripture? Well, that's our mission for you. And one of the best ways to do that, we think, is for you to come to our website, faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org, and get involved. We've got free daily blog posts that if you get subscribed, completely hassle-free, they'll show up in your inbox. Those that read them are enriched on a daily basis. So come visit us at faithalone.org. You may be interested in becoming a financial partner with the Grace Evangelical Society, the organization that puts on this radio show. You can find out how to do that and give tax-deductible gifts at faithalone.org. Maybe you have a question or a comment or some feedback, and if you do, that's great. We would love to hear from you. So here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. You can get us day or night, radio@faithalone.org. Here we are at another Friday. We look forward to being back with you on Monday. I'm Lucas Kitchen with Grace Evangelical Society, and until next time, let's keep grace in focus.